I'm Jason Klom, and this is the Comedy on Vinyl podcast. The year is 1988. The album, the Off-White album, the artist, Dennis Miller, and my guest, Daniel Koenig. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So, why did you pick Dennis Miller? You're only the second person to pick any Dennis Miller, and it's the same album that the last person picked.
Oh, no, so you've already done this album?
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
Oh, you did the same album multiple
Class
times?
Clown, we've done about six times.
Oh, okay.
It's different perspectives. That's all I care about.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that Josh Weinstein did not have the same experience you did.
I picked it because I listened to it over and over and over again.
Okay.
I just knew it. I had listened to it so many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
And in re-listening to it for today, I discovered that I was kind of an asshole teenager because it's very sort of elitist, which is fine.
Yep,
there's part of me that...
Do you see, elite judgment was one of the things
I mean, there's part of me that's sort of my sense of humor still. So I'm not going to pretend I'm a totally different person.
Sure.
But there was more than one thing that sort of made me cringe.
Mm-hmm.
And not really at him, but me at myself.
I get that. Yeah.
At like, oh, God, I thought that was so smart. And then, oh, God, I stole that. I stole that setup. Like, there were a couple of times where I was like, oh, I stole that setup.
Holy
and I
shit.
Did that. I mean, not the joke,
mm-hmm.
but the setup.
Right.
And not even realizing it because I had listened to him so much.
Oh, my God. I love it. It's
yeah.
so in your blood.
It was in my
point.
Blood.
Wow.
I listened to stand-up before I was, obviously, before I was a comic,
mm-hmm.
like, as a teenager and
mm-hmm.
stuff. And so, and I was sort of obsessed with comedy. There also weren't 1 million... comedians to follow at that time.
For sure.
Who were big, you know. There were a handful that were really big. So
mm-hmm.
he was definitely an influence on me.
Yeah. the sad
oh.
look on your face. Yeah, so the first things I wrote, I've heard this before.
Yeah.
The first three things I wrote were divisive, personality driven, and elite judgment. Those are the three things
yeah.
that occurred. And I'm like, God damn it, I'd forgotten I don't like Dennis Miller that much. Like,
yeah.
even when he was quote unquote funny, which he is. Like,
well, he's
there's
genuinely
no doubt he's funny.
In his blood funny.
Yeah.
There's no. It's just interesting because sometimes the reach for the reference or the big word really works.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it feels like work.
Uh-huh.
When you're listening to it, you're like, oh, that was work. And
mm-hmm.
I think the audience doesn't know what you're saying, even though they're laughing. I'm like, not everyone could possibly know what that reference means. They just get your cadence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he so had that rhythm set and that cadence that you got what he was talking about, even if you didn't know what the specific reference was.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there were a lot of, like, knowing, like, seemingly knowing laughs in there. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I get it, Dave. I get it, Dennis.
You know what's so funny? It's like, that's the experience people talk about when they're kids and they're in the room with their parents. And their parents are laughing at something that
yes.
they get. And they're like, ah, I get it too, Mom and Dad. It's weird to have
right.
an adult audience doing that to
right.
the guy who's performing for them.
Right.
Who just said Twyla and they're trying to figure out who the fuck Twyla
right,
is
right,
or
right,
what
right,
moment
right,
Chance
right.
is a moment after that.
Yes. And I think it's just because, you know, they do genuinely like him and they
mm-hmm.
want to be able to get the references.
Yeah, of course.
And I certainly didn't get them all.
Sure, sure.
Certainly not when I first listened to it.
Yeah.
But I think there's this idea of him as being cool, and it's funny because that's not what comedy is anymore.
Sure, yeah.
I can't say that I'm like completely up on stand-up
mm-hmm.
anymore. I'm not.
Right.
But it's sort of the opposite, like Patton Oswalt, who I just worked with. Patton obviously is, you know, the best, and
mm-hmm.
he is cool, but he's cool because he's embraced everything about him that's not cool.
Absolutely, yeah.
Whereas Dennis Miller was like a comedian trying to be a rock star.
Absolutely.
So the 15-year-old me, well, that's how old I was when it came out. I don't know if I was that young when I started listening to it. I
okay.
may have been older. I'm not really sure. But probably.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thought that was cool.
Right, of course. Of course you did. I think we all did, right?
What?
We all did.
Yeah.
I think, like, Captain
yeah.
Smarm up there, which is like, bop,
yeah.
bop, 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 bop.
Yeah.
Like, that was literally his
right.
his pattern of speech.
And also, like, the update jokes were so good.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
bet they still hold up. I mean, I would think they would.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we knew him from.
Right.
I'm pretty sure that's what I knew him from that before I knew stand-up,
mm-hmm.
I think. I don't know when he started SNL. But, and those sort of work in a better context almost just by themselves. I mean, look, he's done fine for himself.
Yeah.
He's okay. He's gonna... I don't know the new conservative stuff. I've not listened to it. But you can sort of see the beginning of it in the Off-White album.
Mm-hmm.
You can see a little bit of like, oh, okay, this is what he went with. Mm-hmm. He took this bit about the death penalty and then made it his focus, I'm assuming.
For sure, yeah, it seems like. And then combine that with a healthy dose of classicism that's all in there. That right. You think is like... He's doing it in such a way that if this is a character, you could be laughing at him being classist.
Right.
But I guess maybe that really wasn't what was happening.
No, I don't think he was. I mean, I definitely don't think that was the intention. I think he was being himself. And at the time, I thought that was really funny, like for making sure. fun of Hillbilly. And look, some of the lines are still funny about the Deep South. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, nothing deep going on there and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, watching Cannonball Run 2 and breaking up into a discussion group afterwards. I mean, some of it was really, it is still funny, and I'm fine with laughing at it.
Sure.
For sure. But other things, I can't think of the top of my head now, but other things along that ilk was kind of like, oh, right.
Would you have bought this album for yourself?
Yes, I would have.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm sure I did. Yeah, I'm sure I did.
What was the household like in terms of the comedy that was floating around then?
I mean, my parents always let us watch Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
That was like, they let me stay up as long as I could. I could just never stay up.
Yeah, yeah.
But SCTV and Saturday Night Live were a big part of our house. Mm-hmm. And my parents introduced us to Fawlty Towers.
Ooh, nice.
And I'm showing my age. I mean, those were in reruns, but still. Anyway, I'm not a spring chicken. But, and so... And I also watched terrible sitcoms, you know. Mm-hmm. Even I knew they were terrible.
Sure.
I still watched them
because
they were on.
Yeah.
So I sort of just immersed myself in comedy, whether it was good or bad, mostly good, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I just, you know, Family Ties and Cheers were like my favorite shows, and I just thought they were, you know, so wonderful, and I just, you know, would just immerse myself in all of it. So, yeah.
Were there any albums at all floating around in the house? I only ask because sometimes that happens, sometimes not at all.
You know, I can't remember my parents playing any comedy albums.
Okay.
But they would play me like old radio shows sometimes, which were comedies.
Okay.
But that's what I'm trying to think of because they are really old. But I'm looking at your Nichols and May. My mom definitely told me about Nichols and May. I don't know if she played them for me, but she told me about them.
All right.
And I watched like a lot of old movies, you know, like screwball comedies and stuff like that. I don't really think they played albums.
Okay.
I can't remember. It was like a sitting around listening to an album.
So if you bought this for yourself, it was absolutely for you going into your room and listening to it?
Oh, yeah. This was absolutely for me.
Mm-hmm.
And in my car and driving and listening to it over and over and over again. Because I thought I wanted to be a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
Which I did.
Right.
Want to be. It didn't really work out so well. But I, probably because Dennis Miller was my pattern, and I was a 15-year-old girl and knew nothing of. But, yeah. So, no. I mean, the stand-up thing was very much my own thing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, comedy in general was in our house, but stand-up specifically, I would, you know, rent, you know, VHS tapes every weekend of stand-ups.
Like really?
That. Yeah, like that's what I would rent.
All right. Like what? Yeah. So what was available? Because I mean, I'm used to having seen like Caroline's and stuff that was on cable. And
oh
shit.
Yeah.
So what were you renting? Just the specials?
Just specials.
Okay.
Yeah. My parents didn't get therapy or cable until after I moved out, so I didn't really. So I didn't really. I remember being at my parents sometime after I'd already left the house, and they had cable, so I watched Comedy Central constantly.
Yeah,
and so I watched the stand up and short attention span theater and that kind of stuff. So yeah, but I would just go down the aisle and just rent specials.
The ones that stand out.
Kevin Pollak.
All right.
I know I rented. Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
I like Jake Johansson a lot, so I'm assuming I rented Jake Johansson.
Okay.
Because I liked him a lot. And, my God, I'm blanking on her name because I'm old, with the big curly hair.
Gilda Radner?
No, the stand-up.
Oh, no, the stand-up. What am I thinking? Christ,
blonde.
Sorry. Blonde, curly hair.
It'll come to me in a second.
It's fine.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Anyway. Mm-hmm.
Not Elaine Boozler.
Elaine Boozler.
There we are.
Thank you. Yep. I'm sure I rented Elaine Boozler. Yeah.
Okay.
That was up, yeah, it was up my alley, I think.
Yeah, because I was going to ask, did you have a lot of choice of women specials to watch?
You know, I don't even know if it mattered to me.
No.
I don't even think I was thinking like that.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't thinking, oh, I wish there was a woman. I was just like, I'm going to do that.
Okay. Well, that's a positive. That's a really fun thing that my phone just did, even though it was on vibrate a minute ago.
That's all right.
Super cool. Fuck you, phone.
Is that okay. Entertainment calling?
Who
saying
knows?
Saying they want you?
Yeah, that's exactly what it okay. is. You're right. Okay, well, I always do wonder, like, because representation's a problem, even yeah. on my shitty podcast. So I you know, I just you wonder, like, if it does matter at all. But you were just, this shit's funny, and I want to learn from
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I don't think I thought that way. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong, and maybe I will. I mean, I did like Elaine Boozler. I don't think I really liked Rita Rudner. I mean, I watched her. I don't think I really enjoyed her.
Mm-hmm.
I was certainly aware of, I mean, I was aware of Kathy Ladman. I loved her.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I was like, I don't think there was any conscious thought of, well, that's a woman doing that, and that's mm-hmm. what I want to do. I think I just related to the maleness of it somehow, but, mm-hmm. you know, so I was just, yeah, I just wanted to listen to as much as I could. And like I said, I don't do it now, and it's so funny when, well, lately I've been telling Alexa to play me comedy.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know the names of any albums, so I'll just say, like, play so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just plays it all out of order.
Of course.
So in the fifth track will be, everybody, welcome to the stage! You know, you're like, okay, I think I get it, but...
Holy crap.
Yeah, but that's fun. I'm trying to... I'm not even sure, like, who I should be listening to.
Right. Well,
besides,
yeah,
besides, like, the big, you know, the big names.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the hard part, is if you decide to delve a little deeper, it is a crapshoot. You know,
yes.
I've got 500 albums sitting here.
I bet.
That I've tried, last year I tried to listen to one a day, and it did not happen.
Because
it's exhausting.
It's exhausting.
And most of it's not good. I'm sorry to
yes.
my audience. I keep saying that, but
so
like.
You're saying old albums or
in
everything?
In general.
Yeah.
And I know there are a lot of newer comics that I just don't like anyway. So if I'd bothered to listen, I'd be like,
right.
no, this goes on the pile with the other shit.
Right.
You know, a lot of it's yeah. like local comics, which is fine. Cool, be a local comic. Great. But a lot of it's just like, oh, this is some touchy. It's 2018. I can't laugh at that. It's uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. That's you know? The other thing mm-hmm. about comedy. But I don't know. I'm sort of two minds about all this because
mm-hmm.
I reserve the right to find what I used to find funny if
sure.
I want to. Although, like I said, I didn't quite have that experience listening to the Dennis Miller album.
Yeah.
But I also understand that there's a time and place for things
of
and
course.
Things are changing. And it's sort of someone of my age who's like caught in between. I'm not young and I'm not like an super old. It's strange. It's to feel like, oh, I'm this generation that has to think about this stuff because I'm in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could either get it or not get it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I've heard Sarah Silverman talk about how, like, why not just, don't use those words that are offensive to people. Like,
mm-hmm.
just don't.
Yeah.
And so my first reaction is sort of like, well, that's not comedy. You should be able to do whatever you want.
Right.
And of course, you should be able to do whatever you want.
Yes, yeah.
But times change, and it's like, I would never think to say the N-word
uh-huh.
in my life or on stage.
Right.
So why do I think it's okay to say something else? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that.
So, not that I'm on stage anymore, but
mm-hmm.
you still think like a comic. And
yeah.
So, it's kind of interesting.
I forgot. I did invite you here just to say the N-word and then leave.
Well, okay. You twisted my arm.
I convinced you.
See, the other thing is I don't think I could just sit and do nothing and listen to a comedy album.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have to do something.
That's
and
yeah.
you're listening to albums.
Mm-hmm.
So, do not put them on. Do not digitize them?
I do. I
oh,
try
okay.
and do that as I'm listening or put them on in the background so I can go do some other shit. But then there's some albums that you can't do that with, like the Firesign Theater. Most people don't like the people who don't like Firesign Theater are people who can't sit and listen to an album and do nothing else. That's what you have to do actively. You have to just sit there, lay down, put headphones on and not do
yeah,
anything else.
Yeah, that would drive me insane,
It is difficult.
But I'm saying you don't like have a CD version where you can put it Sometimes. On an iPod.
Sometimes.
Move around.
Yeah, sometimes. I try to do that. I'm trying to digitize these while I'm doing other shit, then come back to them and okay. you know, put them. But yeah, sometimes there's it's just not feasible.
Yeah, because I don't want to half listen to something.
Right.
But I also don't want to just stand still and listen to something.
Of course.
That would drive me insane.
Yeah, sometimes you have to.
Yeah, I guess.
Except for stand-up. I mean, I think stand-up kind of works that way, although I'd rather be present. I'd like, when I'm the rare time I see comedy live, obviously I'd like to be fully invested in what they're saying and everything,
yeah.
but I can listen to this and I was listening to this and walking around, you know,
right.
on my phone.
Right.
And I still got the gist of it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. The ideal is to be doing something mindless mm-hmm. so that you can listen and pay attention.
In the same way I listen to podcasts. I listen. Right. I do dishes and listen to podcasts.
Me too. I do yeah. dishes. I work out. Mm-hmm. I grocery shop. Yeah. So occasionally I'll have to rewind it because I didn't hear something.
Sure.
Which is super easy on an iPod.
Yeah, it's nice.
Oh, God. I fucking hate iPods. I hate them. Are we allowed to swear?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, sorry.
Please. You almost said the N-word, so of course we're allowed.
Yes.
Okay, so when you bought this album, was it after just seeing a ton of SNL and you knew the album was out? Or you're going through a music store and you're like, this looks interesting? You have any idea?
You know, I'm not really a music store type of person.
Okay.
Because I've always been more into comedy than music. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like music, but I don't... My husband can just like, let's go to a music store. Let's kill some time and walk around the record store. I'm like, oh, that sounds like a nightmare to me. It's so boring and dusty, and I feel like a little kid being dragged around by their parent. It's just not appealing to me at all.
Mm-hmm. Even the comedy section? Do you not care? You don't give a shit.
I mean, so I'm looking at the cover. I mean, what am I going to do? Like,
I don't.
It's just not fun to me.
I get that.
So my point is, I may have gone to the store with the intention of buying
it. Just buying it, okay.
I don't know that I was browsing. I can't pretend I actually remember.
That's fine.
Like I said, I don't know if I got it when it came out or if I got it. I'm sure I got it in Sherman Oaks or Studio City.
Okay.
I can narrow that down. but yeah, I'm not really sure of the circumstances.
Re-listening it to it, can you peg what was so interesting to you as a kid? Like, is it just personality or like, I'm curious.
I think I liked his demeanor.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the coolness. I think I thought he was super cute.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he was smart.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very appealing to me.
Sure.
I was like, oh, he's smart. I'm smart. I thought I was a lot smarter than I am, by the way. I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only 15-year-old or 18-year-old or 25-year-old or whatever to think they're smarter than they are.
Right.
But I for sure recognize that I really thought I had it on the ball. And, you know, I was just like, fine. But and then the superiority thing. I think mm-hmm. I probably related to that in some way. Like, that was appealing to me in some way, the sort of snobbishness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't like, you know, mean to children in my school who are
right.
not of some sort of level, but I probably was a little snobby.
You might have been. Well, is it safe to say he's articulating some shit you might have been thinking?
I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't think I was probably even conscious I was thinking any
sure.
of those things, but just on a very superficial level, like dumb people are, you know, dumb
mm-hmm.
kind of thing.
Yeah, and I can get that. For the same reason. I'm trying to think. Might have been No Cure for Cancer came out.
Which I was also obsessed with.
Yes, and I fucking loved that album
yeah.
too. And that's a very extreme character.
Uh-huh.
I don't know Dennis Leary, so I have no idea if that's yeah. even close to who he really is.
Yeah.
But I still imagine, though, that would be more appealing to me on re-listen than this. I don't know. Have you re-listened to that album?
I haven't.
Okay.
But I loved that album,
yeah.
too.
It's amazing.
And
well, I think
then a boyfriend told me, you know, he stole everything from...
from Bill Hicks, sure.
From Bill Hicks. Mm-hmm. And I was like... What are you saying? And then I listened to it and I was like kind of heartbroken.
Yeah.
Cuz
yeah.
I really didn't believe him. I was mm-hmm. like there's no way. That doesn't how could someone do that?
Right.
And then I sort of so I have to believe that he's also inherently funny but just stole material. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He's also a good actor.
Sure.
But that was very upsetting.
Yeah.
That was just like why would you show me the guy walking around in the Wookiee costume. Mm-hmm. Like, you're kind of just blowing the whole reality. You know?
I get that. I haven't dug deep enough, and I know that that accusation's been out there a long time. So is it, like, really specific shit that he stole?
There were... I don't know if everything was, mm-hmm. but there were a few bits that were basically, like, the bit.
Wow.
And it was like, oh, so you just put it through your personality filter.
Right.
And then, I mean, I suppose it could be coincidental because that certainly happens in comedy.
Sure.
But I remember it being fairly specific.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it was really upsetting.
He picked a bad time. The internet was just happening.
Yeah.
That's a real bad time.
Yeah. It wasn't proved to me on the internet. Mm-hmm. It was proved to me with an album. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay. All right.
That's so depressing.
But, but I guess with him, it's also like the cadence, the word choice, mm-hmm. strong personality, mm-hmm. I guess I respond to.
What's your stage presence like in comparison to the stuff that you like?
Oh, God. Well, I don't, like I said, I don't do stand-up anymore. Yeah. Guy Branum, do you know Guy?
Mm-hmm.
He said something to me like, you're the only person I know who's actually nice offstage, but a bitch on stage. And I wasn't trying to like cultivate a bitchy personality on stage, but I guess I just have a little... maybe like an air about me that I actually don't have.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like a sort of confidence and cockiness, which I think, you know, a lot of people do, but I think it was probably a little cultivated.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like Natasha Leggero where it's sort of like over. I mean, I like her presence,
yeah.
But I think it's actually, but it wasn't that much of a character.
Uh-huh.
It was really just like another degree of me. It wasn't really, mm-hmm. But I also did a lot of jokes where, like, I'm the idiot, because uh-huh. I think that's funny.
For sure.
But if I had been, you know, more successful and done it longer, I'm sure that I could give you a more coherent answer because I would have been a more coherent comedian.
Sure.
I was just, basically, it was like anything I found funny, I did. So mm-hmm. it wasn't, you know, it was words, usage. It wasn't, I mean, it wasn't Dennis Miller. At first, I'm sure it was, and that's uh-huh. embarrassing and cringeworthy.
Of course.
But, you know, then it was just like whatever I found funny.
When did you start doing stand-up?
I guess, well, the very first time I did it, I think I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
And I lied to my parents, and I never lied, really. And this is the kind of rebellious child I was. I lied and told them I was going to a friend's house, and I went to do stand-up. I know, it's very nerdy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was just, I didn't want anyone to know. I was just too embarrassed.
Yeah.
And I went to a place in the Valley where it was like singers and you know, people on guitar. It was an open mic.
Yes.
It wasn't
okay.
just stand up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, went up in front of a bunch of hippies and, you know, did my five jokes or mm-hmm. whatever. And I really liked it, but I was still in high school.
Yeah.
So I think I just did it that one time.
Right.
And then I ended up after I did a year of college and then. And then I came back to LA and then started doing it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I really didn't work hard enough at it. Like,
okay.
I really realized that I didn't, I thought I was, but I wasn't. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Did you think you had it kind of figured out? Is it like,
no.
On looking back on it? No.
Did I think I had it figured out? Like,
yeah. Like, what's the reason you feel like you weren't trying? I'm just curious. We don't dig into this kind of thing that often.
I don't think I knew what I was supposed to do.
Okay.
I don't think I understood what the next steps were. And it's not that I didn't have people around me who were doing stand-up. I just didn't... I didn't really know what they were doing that I wasn't doing. And I certainly... it's certainly not that I thought I had it all figured out.
Sure.
I mean, I was all... I've always been insecure and always been, you know... I just... And then I was told by several people who didn't start not... LA that, well, you did it backwards. You're not supposed to start in Los
right,
Angeles
yeah.
where people see you before you're ready. And I didn't have the guts to go move somewhere else.
Okay. I get that.
So maybe if I had, I would have like really, you know, cut my teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think I've ever used that expression before. I'm hoping I used it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like doing, you know, 2 open mics a week or something.
Yeah.
That's not enough. You
I
know?
See.
So that kind of thing.
How frequently was your last name getting mispronounced? I'm just saying. As a
probably
person
100%
K
of the
name.
Time.
Yeah, okay.
I was just talking to, I met this young lady who has the same last name.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to her about it today. How we just don't get, you know, we just don't pronounce, we don't correct anyone anymore.
Right.
Just, yes, my name is Daniel Koenning.
Yes. Holy shit.
Yes.
Oh boy, I get clam all the time, which I get. It looks like clam. That's fine.
Well, I didn't realize it wasn't clam until, but Jimmy, my husband, told me that it was clam.
He's finally started correcting himself.
Okay. Clam.
I have close friends who still fucking mispronounce
it. Well, that's annoying.
That's very annoying.
That's inappropriate.
How many times have I met Jimmy? 4 times, maybe. And he's gotten it right, finally. It's fine.
All right.
He's permitted. My friends are not.
That's not okay.
No, it's not.
It rhymes with mom.
Yeah.
Clam.
Yeah. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
I mean, if I could go to the Americanization or the English translation, but it's uncomfortable. It's either damp, moist. like it literally means clammy. It's
no.
Yeah. Yep. I think it's where it comes
from. Is it German or?
Yeah. It's German. Here's the thing. It's German, but I think it's also Austrian. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm actually doing a podcast about it. I'm trying to like dig deep into what my name really means.
This is your fifth podcast?
I don't
know. Just gonna be about what your name is.
I don't know at this point. But it is like, it's like I've interviewed some people who have the same last name or have written characters with the last name just to fucking go all over the place.
Do you know other people with the same last name?
Yeah, there are plenty. And
almost, do they say clam?
Almost everybody in America says clam.
Clam?
Only my end of the family says clam.
Well, so I don't want to make you feel bad, but my name is also German and it means king. So sorry.
That's a little bit better. Yeah. A little bit.
But most people say Koenig.
Of course they do.
But we say Koenig, and then this girl I just met, she says Koenig.
Mm-hmm.
But most people who have the name say Koenig.
Because it's either been Americanized or they're just sucking it up.
Well, none of them are right. It's Koenig. So, I mean,
right.
It's not
that's
like...
True.
It's not like anyone's doing it right or wrong.
That's true. There's an R sound in my name, too, that you can't see. It's like Clem. It's
Clem.
Like it's so hard to fucking get. It would be very embarrassing to try and say that all the time.
Oh
no, I'm
God.
Sorry. It's this. Fuck you.
You're missing the invisible R.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not silent.
That's exactly right.
It's, yeah, pronounced, but not there.
Did you listen to, like, were there other albums that you would listen to on repeat like this?
Comedy albums? So that No Cure for Cancer and a Robin Williams live at the Met.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I listened to over and over and over and over. I don't know why I didn't have more albums now that I think of it. I'm not sure why I just stuck with those three and just listened to them over and over. I could have bought other ones, but I think that's it.
Yeah.
But I just listened. Every time I got in the car, I just listened to that.
That's all you listen to?
You're I think so.
Built for podcasts then, I guess.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
I mean, as a listener to podcasts.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
The thing is, like, I could also be like, hey, you know what you should listen to? This. And honestly, I don't know that somebody who's listened to those three albums would necessarily even give a fuck. I you know what I mean? Like, I wonder if, like, would it be worth it for you to listen? Although, Steve Martin, for sure. But if, have you ever heard any like those, like Steve Martin's or like George Carlin's or anything like that?
Course.
Okay, but just in passing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I've listened to... I mean, I've heard whole, you know, chunks of those, but you're right. I've never listened to a whole Steve Martin album.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've seen a concert, maybe.
Okay. Well, that's better, though.
It is better because it's not really so much what he's saying. It's
yes.
like the whole presentation.
Right.
And, but I mean, I love Steve Martin as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
I loved him. I've seen all his movies a million times. Yeah, I don't know why I didn't. And then, well, I don't know if, did Albert Brooks do stand-up?
He
had albums.
He did
right?
albums, but they're conceptual sketch weird shit albums.
Yeah, and I've never heard those, and I love him too.
They're very good. You know what? There is stand up on half of one of those, and I don't know like what percentage of his time was actually spent performing or how much of it was done just for the album.
Right.
But there is stand up on those one of those albums.
And is it good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. It's very funny. Like it's tight because it's got to be just one half of the album, the other half is sketch again. So, he's got to do his best 20 minutes or whatever.
And
he
is it sketched with other actors or is it just him?
Good question. I'm trying to remember the combination. My phone, I'm sorry.
It's
I just
okay.
did it again. It keeps turning off the vibrate. Anyway, it's a combination of him and other actors, like Harry Shearer's on one of them.
Okay.
Then there's one that's in Comedy Minus One. There's the old trope of reading along with the sketch. So it's just him.
Oh, yes, I have heard about that. Okay.
Just him and then...
You're supposed to read the other side.
Yes, exactly.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and it's fun.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
That's also one, though, I don't think you could... You could listen to it passively and it would still work, but it would be fun to play along with.
Yeah.
It's very gimmicky, though.
Yeah.
Do you... So what was your, did you have like a career trajectory after stand-up in mind? Because obviously you've had a successful career in writing for TV, but like, was there like a, I'm gonna do this and go to this, or?
You mean while I was doing stand-up?
Yeah, while you're doing stand-up. I was just curious if there's a specific trajectory.
I didn't want to do stand-up to get something else. Mm-hmm. I really, really loved stand-up.
Okay.
And I really wanted to be a great stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't like trying to get cast on a sitcom or something like that.
Yeah.
I had come from acting as a teenager. I had done a little bit of acting
mm-hmm.
on TV. But that wasn't my goal. I just really loved the art form.
Mm-hmm.
But I also really enjoyed writing, and I knew that hopefully I could maybe do both. And then it just turned into I was more suited for writing.
Okay.
I think. Yeah.
Is there something to being in an artistic household that leaves you open to thinking you can do this stuff, though? I do wonder.
Right, because why would you...
Thought I could be in stand-up, but I didn't have anybody in my family making an example, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't have that, so I wonder what leads people to thinking they can do it.
Yeah. Over-encouraging parents
mm-hmm.
who tell you can do anything.
Yeah.
I don't recommend it.
I had the same thing.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, just they weren't in the business.
Okay, because people don't understand when you complain about such a thing, so mm-hmm. it's nice to see someone who understands that it's actually sort of somewhat detrimental. But mm-hmm. I also put too much blame on them. It's not really their fault. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think I just, okay, well, I mean, here's the truth of it.
Mm-hmm.
I had studied ballet since I was 5.
Wow,
and
okay.
studied... Seriously, and I knew I wasn't good enough.
Okay.
So why not do the next easiest thing to achieve success in, stand-up comedy?
Okay.
let's just pick the two hardest things in the world to make a mark in.
Yeah.
So I always was funny, and I always made people laugh, and it's that classic comedian thing of I'm terrible, I'm horrible, I'm the worst, but I'm going to try it. I think I can make it. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, none of it makes any sense.
Yeah.
1 second, you're like, I still feel that way sometimes. Like, mm-hmm. God damn it, my career should be going better than this. Or should it? Maybe it shouldn't. Maybe it's exactly where it should be.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? There's that constant. So I don't know. I don't know what makes someone think they can do it.
Right.
And then what makes someone succeed or, you know, keep pursuing it.
Because whenever I hear people on other podcasts or on this one say, yeah, that's when I realized, you know, this is a thing. Until then, I'd never realized you could actually do this as a career. And I'm like, what about seeing that actually made you think that? What is the reality? Like, did you get a peek behind? And I don't know that anybody ever necessarily realized.
Well, what's weird about that is how could you not know it was a career? I hear people say mm-hmm. that too, and I think that mm-hmm. it doesn't ring true to me.
Right.
Like, unless you're 80 years old, how did you not know this could be a career? I really, right. I do. Yeah. I hear people say that all the time. Yeah. I'm like, what? Of course you did. You saw people doing stand-up. What are you talking about? Maybe you didn't think you could do it,
right.
But of course it's a career that... Anyway.
There's this weird association with magic, though. Like, all entertainment is magic at some point, I think. For me, it was. I grew up in upstate New York.
Oh, okay.
So think about that. Like, if you grew up in a place where this shit doesn't exist... Kelsey Grammer owns a house down the street that's worth a ton of money. But that doesn't mean anything. I still don't know what that means.
Right, but I guess there's a difference between doing stand-up and being famous. Like, uh-huh. I'm not saying...
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
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 I guess Maybe people just get into any business to be famous.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And I guess I just don't... I didn't really see it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I did at some point,
but right.
I didn't always... I was just like, no, I just want to do stand-up. I didn't think, oh, I'm going to become famous.
Right. That's an added benefit.
It is.
Because I can recall thinking of fame very young. You know.
Oh, I'm sure I did it when mm-hmm. I was young.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm saying by the time I was doing it, I don't think I was like, yeah, I'm going to be famous. I just mm-hmm. wanted to be a working comic.
Yeah.
I didn't really know what that meant, but that's what I wanted. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have huge aspirations. I didn't think of myself. But, you know, then people who think like that, sometimes it works for them. And then they're Jim Carrey.
Right.
They're like, you think they're delusional, and then they somehow make it happen. So, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously he's extremely talented too.
Sure.
So usually that goes hand in hand, but mm-hmm. not always.
No.
Sometimes people are just 90% will.
Yeah.
And they just will it to happen.
Those people scare me.
They scare me.
Yeah.
They scare me. I don't know how that happens.
What are your memories of your TV work, your limited years of TV work? Like as an actress, I mean.
Yes. I have a friend who's about my age who also was acted as a teenager, and we were both always cast as like the ugly best friend. So we have lots of memories of just being put in horrible, horrible costumes.
Uh-huh.
Just awful wardrobe with like big hats. My joke used to be, but it's true, that like I was so ugly, I played two different ugly best friends on one show. I was, which is true. Mm-hmm. I was on Life Goes On, and I played two different characters.
Mm-hmm.
So I did enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I was always excited when I got to do it. It was fun to leave school and
sure,
and you know, be professional and act. But I never thought I was a really good actor. I mean, I never really was like, thought I was great at it or had a deep, deep passion for it the way I did with comedy or writing.
Let's go back to the album for just a moment. Is there anything on it that stands out to you, something that like particularly still resonates or is at least still really funny to you?
Oh, gosh.
Or like a favorite bit overall?
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask me that, and yet I'm blanking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm trying to see what I wrote.
Yeah, tell me what you wrote down, and then I'll tell you what resonated for me.
I mean, other than the coincidental Star Trek thing, because there's a cute bit about the
phaser.
Oh,
I do like the thing about being high.
Yes.
Even though I'm not someone who smokes pot. Mm-hmm. I certainly didn't then.
Yep.
I mean, I never tried it at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And only, you know, I haven't dabbled that much. But just the way you phrase it, how do I know the same color blue to you? I like all that stuff.
Yeah.
I liked the thing where he pretends he's going to do an impression.
Yeah.
And then he is like, no, I'm just fucking with you. I want to do that. And that, to me, is still funny.
Yeah.
But it is kind of like jabbing the audience like, oh, you're idiots. You think I'm going to do impressions?
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it works. I mean, it's still funny. What else did you write down?
Not much else.
You really didn't enjoy it.
No, it was fine. It's just like, I feel like those two bits, that one's pretty good too. But I think I was just so amazed that I had missed all of the attitude that I just didn't like so much.
And did you used to like him more? Or no?
I must have. As a young person, I must have, because I know that the few times I got to watch SNL, I enjoyed him.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I might have enjoyed Dana Carvey's impression of him more now that I think about it.
Yeah.
I might have understood him through a lens or a filter better. Just still, him saying cha-cha all the time.
Yeah, cha-cha, yeah. And I still liked, it's such a dumb joke, but the joke about liquid soap for messy kids. Your kid can't get hand soap together. Do him a favor. So that whole thing.
Yeah. I feel like that kind of language has permeated comedy still, too.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. Like, if your kid can't get hand soap together is a really funny phrasing.
Yes.
And I feel like that, I don't know.
I hear you. That does make sense.
You know
sense.
What I'm saying? Like, it sounds like something that would have been on a sitcom 5 years later, and that's kind of, that's how Chandler Bing speaks.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. Without the 12 layers of sarcasm on top of it.
Right.
That makes it kind of, but yeah. It was interesting listening to it.
I bet.
I mean, there's still stuff that makes me laugh, but yeah. It's kind of, some things maybe you shouldn't revisit because you have them as, you know.
Well, at least you didn't pick like Dice or Sam Kinison. Only because,
does Sam Kinison not hold up?
Okay.
Or was he even ever funny? I'm not even sure.
He can tell a joke. It's, do I want to hear that joke with the C word, with all and just tearing it into everybody? Like, you could be like, oh no, but this is a character. But there's almost no way that level of misogyny
that's a good point.
Just a character.
That's a good right, which I was told for years and years that Andrew Dice Clay was a character, and then he sort of became the character.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But I never found him funny. Right. I mean, I just never got it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get it. I get what the joke is.
Yes.
It just never struck me as funny.
Sure. Same here.
And Sam Kinison, I think I probably found, yeah, because there was a whole thing about Africa and, and the famine and go where the food is and all that stuff was really funny. But you're right. There's certain things that, you know, hit you now that you're like, oh, I don't know if I can take that.
Yeah. I mean,
I think I can put things in context.
Sure.
I think when I listen to Don Rickles, I'm not offended because I'm putting it in the context of the time.
Yes.
But I also am of an age where I can do that. If I'm 25 years old and I hear that for the first time, I'm probably horrified, I can imagine.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's been the challenge the whole time, is like, the thing is, can I make the argument that the Marx Brothers are funny to a young person? Maybe not. They might not be inherently funny.
My 10-year-old likes the Marx Brothers.
See, that's the thing. You also have a particularly unique child. But like,
but honestly, the Marx Brothers do hold up.
I think they do too, but I don't know if I could make the argument for them, only because I think some kids are like afraid of black and white and old-timey shit.
Oh, even he's, well, you'll like this. We were watching, I'm sorry, I'm getting off on a tangent.
No, this is how the show goes.
Okay. We were watching, I'm not sure if it was Caddyshack.
Uh-huh.
But I'm pretty sure it was Caddyshack, because we just watched Caddyshack the other night.
Okay.
And he, before it started, he said, is this in color? So he is a little, even he's a little averse to black and white. Mm-hmm. However, we started him on the Marx Brothers very young.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a bit during Caddyshack, I can't remember, but I'm sure it's something Chevy Chase did, where he was kind of quiet in the background doing something. And I was like, oh my God, that was so Marx Brothers.
Uh-huh.
Because of the weird timing. Yeah. The like kind of three things going on at once,
and
not a lot of talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he got that because he knew the reference.
Yeah.
So.
That's good.
Yeah.
Your 10-year-old son has seen Caddyshack and I have not.
We fast-forwarded a couple of scenes, naked lady scenes.
Oh, naked lady stuff.
You've never seen Caddyshack?
I've never seen Caddyshack. I have a weird gap of like.
Oh.
We moved to the U.S. in 1980 when this album came out. We moved to the U.S.
Yeah.
Having been over in Germany for several years. So there are a few like things that I didn't see until way later. And then I didn't get to see it.
It's not like, have you seen Airplane?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, Airplane is still hilarious,
yes,
right? Airplane
I think
is still
so.
Funny. Caddyshack, it's funny. There are definitely moments of real comedy, but the movie makes zero sense.
Okay.
Like there's no through line.
Mm-hmm.
There's no like script. It's kind of a disaster. Like, and then things you remembered as being super, super funny aren't. Mm-hmm. Other things are.
Yeah.
But so I've seen it for the first time. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're probably just going to be like, what were they thinking? What
this movie? I'm looking forward to that feeling though, because like every once in a while, like I saw Fletch for the first time only a couple years ago, and I enjoyed it. I think it holds up. There's some weird fucking shit in it. Also, some stuff that doesn't make sense.
Right.
It only made sense in the 80s for some reason,
I guess. But it's funny, like, when you see a movie now, even if it's a bad movie, it'll probably have a three-act structure because it has to have those things to be made, because it'll go through 25 different suits and hands.
Yes.
And this movie, it was just like, which I understand, they just let them do what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But it really just, it's just like things are set up and then you're like, wait, what is this character supposed to be?
Oh,
it's just very strange.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look at it through that lens.
Well, it's definitely worth seeing though. I mean, there's definitely like funny moments, and you know, Chevy Chase at his most Chevy Chase, and my son was like, why is Bill Murray doing that accent? Because
he does that.
And I'm like, it's because it's funny.
Yep.
There's no reason.
Yeah,
it's just
no way to justify that. Is there really? How do you explain that? I mean, like, explain.
It works
really
for the
like,
character, because the character's just insane.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
You're now making me wonder if my parents should have showed me Caddyshack when, like, they let me watch all kinds of booby movies.
As they did?
Yeah, they didn't care, but, like, the booby movies I watched were Arthur, Trading Places.
Oh, a little more intense.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I was 2 or 3 when these came out, and they're letting me watch. I still have the VHS that had both those movies back to back. Watched Arthur and Trading Places all the time as a kid. That damaged
Trading
my brain.
Arthur, I haven't seen maybe once.
Uh-huh.
It's not really a comedy, is it? Isn't it kind of dark?
It's dark, but there's some really funny shit.
Oh, okay.
You make a very good point. I now wonder, is it really a comedy? Because
there's a lot of movies like that from that era where you're like, oh, you go back and you're like, oh, there's nothing really funny about this.
Mm-mm, right.
Like, I showed my son Big, and he was like,
oh, yeah.
It's not really funny.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, well, yeah, I guess it's not really funny. It's sort of sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't care about sweet,
of course
really.
Not. Yeah.
Although I showed him Roxanne.
Really?
He both laughed and he cried.
Really?
And he's never cried in a movie ever.
Oh my God.
Ever.
That's great. I need to rewatch that one though.
I think it's really good.
I'd forgotten the same thing about Big. We just had to perform it on stage and like, I played the mom because of course I did. But like, I'm like, oh God, I actually have to get into a state of mind. I actually have to kind of cry on stage. She's lost her only
son. Oh, it's really sad.
It's
really, really sad and intense. Yeah.
Yeah. There's that, and then there's the weird, creepy subtext. There's not a whole lot to laugh at. It's not like laugh, 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 laugh.
I mean, the scene where he's alone in the apartment by himself the first night in New York.
Oh, that felt like my first night in L.A.
Yeah, it's really... But, I mean, it's very effective.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's very well done. I do think the movie holds up, but yes. it's not like you just remember it as this comedy. Oh, he eats the little baby corn and
dances on the piano. Isn't that adorable? No, yeah. There's some shit happening.
It's actually, yeah. It's like a minor has sex with a grown woman. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He has to say goodbye to his child. It's really sad.
Yeah. Holy crap. There you go, guys. There's a recommendation for you. Revisit Big and then be sad.
I don't know how we got there. I'm sorry.
I don't remember what that... We were talking about the Marx Brothers. Somehow we got onto the Marx Brothers. But we were talking about context.
Do things hold up out of context? I submit that the Marx Brothers are always funny.
I think so, too.
I mean, not every movie is. There are certainly... Like, every once in a while, my son will go... Wait, who's that boring one? Zeppo. Right, Zeppo. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they break out in song for no reason. And yep. Sometimes it's entertaining and sometimes it's
even
just laborious.
Even I still get bored by those two. Yeah, it's a little rough. That particular album up there is a bootleg. It's the only comedy bootleg I've ever seen. And it's these really shitty cuts from movies and from other appearances.
Oh.
It's very weird.
It's Groucho?
It's just Groucho, yeah.
But it's like scenes from
It's
movies?
Like mostly songs. And then the other ones I have, the officially released ones, are just as bad. They're literally a narrator in the middle saying, and now Harpo does this. And then the scene plays out. And it's just like, oh, this doesn't, you can't do them justice on a record. There's a lot of stuff you can't do justice to on an album.
My friend, that just reminded me for some reason, I'm not sure why, but my friend in high school, she and her brother, when they were young, had taped an episode of Soap on a cassette. On an audio cassette and would play it in the car.
I've done that.
It was so cute. Oh, you have?
Oh, yeah.
What shows have you done?
Well, I specifically was talking to Paul Sims of News Radio how I took my favorite clips from the episode we were talking about the other day and just brought it to me in Illinois so that I could have a familiar sound in my head.
Oh, my God.
I was way too old to be doing this. I wasn't a little adorable kid.
Right.
I was like 16 or some shit.
Well, but was this pre-internet? Is that why you...
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
You couldn't just pull it up.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I didn't know how the internet worked yet. I did not. I was a dumb kid. I was supposed to have known, but I didn't.
Oh, okay. So the internet existed.
Okay. I just didn't have access to it. And if I had, I wouldn't have known what to do with
it. I see what you're saying. Yeah. I was pretty behind on that, all that stuff, too.
Yeah. It happens.
What
so we've already talked about we've talked plenty about your experience in stand-up, your favorite track. Is there a reason? Can you recommend this album at all? Would you recommend to people that they listen to it, and why?
I mean, I think it's really interesting to see how stand-up has changed.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really interesting because he's all personality, and there's nothing really personal.
Right.
And most of my favorite comedians are personal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know something about them from... Yeah. From their comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not really like... So to me, it is interesting as a history lesson of like, mm-hmm. I mean, I obviously there are still comedians who just get up and tell great jokes. And that's great too. But they're not really the ones that linger in your head,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt after listening to this again. It was like, okay, I understand why I liked it. And I understand why it was important for me at that time. But it's not like... You know, Maria Bamford, where I'm like,
yeah.
I mean, I know her personally anyway, but after you watch her, you're like, oh, I know her.
Yes.
Like, you understand what's going on, and it's such a unique experience.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I would recommend it. I don't think it's terrible, but I do think it's sort of a time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I think it's beneficial to look at it exactly like that. Like, personality is huge. There's an interesting difference between... Have you ever done, and I was just doing this. He's got a lot of have you ever done, which I think kind of depersonalizes it more than people realize.
Oh, that's a good...
You know, I hadn't thought about it until just now, but you're right. He's not very personal, but he does talk about experiences he can assume you have,
right.
But not in a personal way.
Right. And also, I think it's important that... I mean, important is extremely relative here.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think he was doing something unique. I don't think people were talking the way he was talking. I think there were lots of imitators after him.
Absolutely.
But I think he was doing something unusual, and I think that's good.
Yeah.
I think it's good to change the art form, and he was bringing a sort of sophistication to stand-up that wasn't really part of it before.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I think, you know, whether or not it holds up, I mean... Like we were talking about, something can be great and you can love it, and it just because it doesn't hold up doesn't mean it actually wasn't good.
Sure.
Just so much changes that it's hard to maybe, you know, appreciate it. But wait, I was also going to say something else about, I've been listening to a lot of Todd Barry.
Uh-huh.
And my husband was listening to it, and he said, and then I was listening to it, and he said, did you notice that everything he does is, I saw this, or this happened, or someone told me? And I said, yes, I did notice that. Every single thing is, he saw a sign, or he, someone said something to him, which mm-hmm. just, to me, means he's just constantly writing, because every yes. single thing he encountered, it somehow becomes hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, not every single thing. We don't know what he did. Right, but that's how it feels. It's like, it's so personal.
Yeah.
Like, he really experienced every single one of these things. Nothing is artificial.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You invest a lot, I guess, in just writing it from that point of view, even. But it also, I feel like, you're probably right, it probably would ring more true depending on how you write it. There's probably a way somebody could write his jokes and they just wouldn't sound nearly as good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely.
I'm going to have to listen to more Todd Barry. I feel bad.
Oh, he's so good.
There's so many modern comedians that I am just out of the loop on.
Oh, he's so good.
I have a pile over here. It's like, you should listen to Dana Gould. I know I should, but I don't have, I just haven't. Like, I've got a pile that I need to listen
to.
Yeah,
when I first started doing stand-up, he was one of those people who was always at the shows I would go watch. Oh, he's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's so good.
I used to confuse him with Paul F. Tompkins when I was young. I didn't know any better.
When I was young, you're so funny.
Wow.
Well, Paul F. Tompkins is also brilliant.
Yeah.
And I've listened to a lot of his stuff, too. I mean, yeah, I've always listened to him.
Of course. He's yeah. great. This is coming out at a later time. I don't remember when.
Okay.
But is there anything you want to promote? Where can people find you online? Oh. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
That's a very good question. Well, my Twitter handle is Danielle B. Koenig.
Mm-hmm.
Koenig. And I don't have anything to promote right now. I just finished working on the Writers Guild Awards.
Awesome. Okay.
And now I'm off to the next gig, which I don't know what it is yet. So okay. I don't have anything to promote.
Can people still go buy Invader Zim, and will you see any royalties
from it? I really won't see very many royalties. But, you know, I'm sure you can see it somewhere.
You and have it, to be able to, right?
It was on DVD. They right. did release like a two.
I need to get the show on DVD.
Yeah. It's great.
It's a great show.
It still holds up. Oh, and I wrote a comic last year of it.
Really?
They have a Invader Zim comic book.
Mm-hmm.
And one issue, they wrote, let me write like a little piece of a story.
That's awesome.
And then the next issue, I got to write my own issue.
That's fucking great.
And it was just neat because I never thought I would write a comic book.
Yeah, yeah,
which
yeah.
never in my, you know, I think it was in my wheelhouse. So it was really fun.
That's freaking
it was really cool. neat. Yeah.
What's that one called? Do you remember?
Oh, my God. I don't.
Okay. I'll try and find the link.
The Miss Bitters one, it's all about the origin of Miss Bitters, and that's the one I wrote one story of.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone tries to figure out where the teacher came from.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is, I can't remember what it's called. What the fuck did I call it? But Dib and Zim are have been caught by another alien, and mm-hmm. they're like in adjoining jail cells and just like outdoing each other with stories that are probably not real at all.
Right.
And so you get to see what stories they're doing. And it was a lot of fun.
Why can't they bring that show fucking back?
They are. They made right. a TV movie.
Oh, okay.
Well, when I say they made it, I know they've recorded it.
Oh, okay. I see.
You know, that means how many more years yeah, for uh-huh. the animation.
Uh-huh.
But yeah.
Well,
so
that's cool.
I know. I wasn't involved in that, but I'm sure that's going to be great. And mm-hmm. I don't know if that means that after that there would be a show.
Mm-hmm.
But I know lots of people all over the world, lots of angsty teenagers and uh-huh. former angsty teenagers mm-hmm. are going to be extremely happy.
A lot of people who are probably still happy with those tattoos of Gurr.
Oh, my God. I haven't seen tattoos, but I just saw, like, a Target the other day. I saw someone with a Gurr sweatshirt. And I always say something because I'm so excited.
Of course.
It's, like, the only thing I've been involved in where it has like this cult following, so mm-hmm. I get really excited when I see people
as you
are
should.
Into it.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah,
oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
Well, this has been super fun.
I agree.
I appreciate you coming on. You're
Thank
welcome
you.
Back, even if you want to listen to an album you've never heard before.
Oh, I would love to do that
because I like when people do that.
Okay.
Because then both our brains spin in a different way.
Okay.
Kind of fun. Do I have anything to promote? Just go to bit.ly/comedyalbums. That's my little comedy record label, sketch comedy mostly. And that's all I have to promote. Twitter, jklamm, jklamm. That's about it. Thank you guys for listening. And as always, have a good thing. Comedy. Comedy on Vinyl is a production of Stolen Dress Entertainment. It is produced by Mike Warden and is hosted and edited by Jason Klom. Our theme song was composed and performed by Richard Levinson. Please visit stolendress.com to listen to our other podcasts, read our blogs, read our tweets, watch our videos, and read our books. Please subscribe on iTunes, and if you like us, give us a 5-star rating and a nice review. You can find us on facebook.com/comedyonvinyl, Twitter @comedyonvinyl, and find everything else at comedyonvinyl.com.
A major portion of Comedy on Vinyl has been underwritten by Stand Up Records. Please visit standuprecords.com for all your comedy needs and tune into the new Stand Up channel available on the Roku, where you can also find select episodes of this podcast.